Hello, I'm Dick Strasser, and sitting in Stuart Molina's living room. We're getting caught up on what's going to be happening with this season here at the Harrisburg Symphony on the blog. And I guess wanted to start off and see what happened after the summer. I know you were pretty busy with a lot of performances in June and July.
Yeah, June and July were very labor-intensive with the holiday concerts as we do every year, and then some wonderful chamber music and concerts I did down in Shippensburg, which were a lot of fun too. And then I had some family downtime, which was sorely needed. And since, you know, about the third week of August, I've been working very, very hard preparing not just for these first few concerts, but really for the entire upcoming season.
A lot of people think the first concert is until early October, so how much work is there, you know, to do before you get a concert
season started? Well, if it were just the first concert, I probably could start a couple of weeks before with this particular program, which is fairly familiar. But I'm thinking more in terms of concerts that are coming in the winter and in the spring, particularly the Mendelssohn Concerto, which I've been working on, and the last Pops concert, which I've been spending a lot of time preparing for.
So it's not just, you know, pick up a score the week before the rehearsal and figure out.
Oh, would that were the case.
Yeah, a lot of people think that that's, well, what else does a conductor do?
You know? Wave your hands till the music stops.
Sure, right. So, in terms of the season, I mean, you mentioned the Mendelssohn Concerto. You're playing the first piano concerto with Felix Mendelssohn. So, what is it like to be looking ahead to a season where you're conducting and performing at the same time?
I guess about a month ago I would have said terrifying, and now that I've spent a few weeks working hard on the Mendelssohn, a little bit more manageable. I think the big question mark in concerts like that is, how is it going to be conducting a piece, then playing a concerto, getting that adrenaline rush, and then coming back and conducting a rather significant Schubert symphony after the intermission. And we'll see. I've done it before. I've done Rhapsody in Blue from the keyboard. But even Rhapsody in Blue, it's a little bit smaller a piece, a little bit more manageable. But I'm feeling pretty confident. We'll see how the next several months progress and what kind of tempo I can work it up to, and the dice will fall as they will.
I mean, usually a soloist just comes out and plays the concerto and doesn't have to worry about anything else, but you've got the Schubert Great C Major Symphony after intermission.
Soloists don't know how good they've got it. On the other hand, there's something nice about not having that time while a concert is going on, getting nervous, getting, you know, excited, and having your heart beat faster. I'll be out conducting Ibert, which is kind of a delightful little patisserie kind of piece, and I think that will be a good way to spend the first part of the concert. It won't knock me out in any way. The Schubert 9, I'm also not too worried about, because adrenaline is an amazing thing. I think at the end of the concert I'll collapse. Certainly at the end of the weekend I'll need a couple of well-earned days off, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think the audience will really enjoy the experience. I'm doing this because this is my 10th season, and so yeah, this is just kind of a slight self-indulgence for a celebration.
When you look at the whole season, I mean, you're going to be a soloist as well in February, but what other things in the season, as you're looking ahead, are you most looking forward to?
Well, looking forward to is a tough thing to say, because I really do love every program on this season coming up. So there isn't any particular one that I look forward to more than any other. Of course, I'm excited about the concerto. I'm very excited about doing Haydn's Creation in November. That's a very significant piece of repertoire that I've never done before. Extremely beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so that will be one of those very special concerts for me, but there are a number of other pieces that are on this season that I've never done before that I've really come to love. Things like the Rachmaninoff Symphonic Dances, which I think we're doing in January, and then the Vaughan Williams London Symphony, which is a piece that I've come to rather recently, but I think it's going to be a revelation for our audience, and a piece that a lot of people are going to want to get to know better.
Yeah, it's a favorite of mine, I know. I love that slow movement. It just brings me to tears.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's the return of Augustin Hadlik. Mm-hmm. He'll be playing the Beethoven Concerto, and I've been waiting to program the Beethoven Concerto until I found the soloist that I wanted to work with, and he came and performed Mozart's A Major Concerto a couple of years ago, and everyone in the orchestra was just awestruck by the beauty and nobility of his playing, and that's exactly what you're looking for with Beethoven. He plays with such pristine perfection, and yet with such soul and understanding. I think that's going to be a very special performance as well.
That's good. Yeah, it's a great piece, and you really want, you know, somebody who can get into it well. It's not just Absolutely. Going out there and playing a lot of Flash or something.
And he's a lovely colleague. He's a person who works with the orchestra. Mm-hmm. All the things that you need for a profound work like the Beethoven Concerto. Yeah.
And a couple of other performers coming back, well, one other anyway, was for the opening concert with Alexander Carr.
Well, Alex is one of my closest friends, so that is a very special thing in and of itself, being able to come on stage, perform music with a buddy. Mm-hmm. And I also love the fact that he's doing the Piazzolla. This was his suggestion. I didn't know the piece existed. Mm-hmm. I had suggested another concerto, which he thought was okay, but not what he wanted to do. And he said, you know, I just played this Piazzolla. Give it a listen. And wow, I think this is going to be, it's going to knock the audience over. It's such a delightful, exciting, sultry, sexy, fun piece of music.
And it's not just a concerto. I mean, it's also his version of Vivaldi. Really,
exactly. It's an homage to Vivaldi's Four Seasons. There are little quotes throughout the piece. Nothing that's too heavy-handed, though. It's clearly four tangos for orchestra, but in kind of the ethos of the Four Seasons, with a string ensemble as the accompaniment. There are a couple of direct quotes, but they come in rather beautiful places and in beautiful ways, particularly at the very end of the piece where you hear a quote from Spring to finish the piece. But Alex is a very passionate player, unbelievably skilled as well. He's performed concertos here and with my other orchestras in the past. But this piece particularly, maybe it's because he's half Cuban and he has that Latin blood. I think this is going to be a wonderful matching for him, for our orchestra as well. Our orchestra seems to be increasingly South American as the years go on.
That's true,
And I think everyone's going to have a romp playing this piece.
And the soloist from the orchestra this year will be with the April concert, and that's...
Fiona. Fiona, who I adore, not just as a cellist, but also as a person. Mm-hmm. It's long overdue that she be soloing with the orchestra. She's doing the Saint-Saëns concerto, which is one of the great cello concertos. You know, if you had to list the four or five great cello concertos, this would be one of them, and beautiful melodies, very passionate, very stormy at times, and lyrical at others. Fiona is a magnificent player, and she's playing on a new instrument for her, which produces an enormous sound as well. So I think that it's a wonderful coincidence that the year that we're presenting her, she has this new instrument worthy of showcasing.
Great. Is it a new instrument or a new old instrument?
Well, she came through it through a sad circumstance, which is one of our players, John Zerflew, died a couple of years ago, and this is his cello, and it's a magnificent old cello. And when the estate was being sold, Fiona was able to successfully bid on this cello. And so there's a nice emotional connection with the instrument as well.
Also with the orchestra.
And with the orchestra.
John had been a member, I mean, that cello had played in the orchestra for many years.
John was really loved by a lot of members of our orchestra. And it was a very sad time for us.
He was principal back when I was working with the orchestra in the 80s, so that's when I got to know him.
And his instrument is one of these old instruments with a great deal of personality. I think it suits Fiona so beautifully because she's such a lyrical and yet passionate player. I think it's going to be a memorable performance.
Yeah, that's
and right. And I always love featuring members of the orchestra, no matter who they are. But I've now done so much chamber music with Fiona that I feel that we have a very special music-making connection as well.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of working with members of the orchestra and chamber music, do you already have Stewart and Friends planned, or is that still
Still in the works. That's one of my projects for this next week and a half or so. The pressure is coming pretty heavy from the office to get that program done. So I'm my mind is working on it. It will be happening, and I'm sure it will be another terrific program. But I'm not quite certain yet what instrumentation and what pieces we'll be doing.
Okay. Other repertoire, I mean, you mentioned looking ahead to the Vaughan Williams at the last concert as being something new. Anything else that's...
Well, we're doing a piece by Kevin Putz, a wonderful living composer. He's down in Baltimore on faculty at the Peabody Conservatory. And this is a piece, his Second Symphony, which is a post-9/11 piece. It was inspired by 9/11, and you actually hear in this piece his conception of how the world changed with that monumental event. It starts in a very tonal, almost movie-like, rose-tinted glasses kind of way, with beautiful harmonic progressions and a very vivid orchestration, and then pretty much in one rather sudden fell swoop, everything changes, and the piece changes. And I think it's a very powerful, wonderful piece. I had never heard any of his music before. This is an instance of a composer sending me a work and my being moved by it and thinking, you know, this is something that our audience should hear and will enjoy hearing.
Yeah, I've heard a couple pieces of his. Concertante had just done a premiere of.
That's right. He was one of their chosen composers.
And very very melodic. You know, I don't know. I would say tonal, but I mean it's not to sound condescending about it. But
no. I love tonal music.
He does it in such a way that it's not imitative.
Yeah.
And it's his second symphony. It's called Island of Innocence.
Yep.
And I looked at that and I thought, gee, I wonder what that's about.
Well, you know, I'm not sure if he's intending it to mean Manhattan Island or whether it's you know, our world being an island of innocence
right.
that was invaded by ugliness. But it is definitely a fall from grace. It's a fall from innocence to understanding. I think it's a wonderful work. I think it's a powerful work.
There is a very powerful is the word that I was just going to say, a string quartet that he wrote that was a response to the shootings at the Columbine High School.
Oh my gracious!
And I thought, how are you going to turn this into a string quartet? First of all, but you know, and yet I just found it gripping to listen to, and not violent in the sense that you would just figure like a film score. But I mean, it was
well. Certainly, one of the approaches to writing music is to reflect the world around you, and he does this in a very I wouldn't say literal. Literal isn't fair, but something approaching a literal approach. Where you can actually hear the things happening, but it's much more about the emotional consequences.
Mm-hmm.
We're also presenting another work by Jennifer Higdon, one of my old classmates at the Curtis Institute. We've now done a number of her works, always to great reception. I think she's a marvelous composer. This is a shorter piece, a short section from her Cityscape symphony, and you know, I don't know yet whether she'll be coming. Kevin sadly will not be able to come.
Oh.
Because he has a world premiere happening the same weekend elsewhere. You know, you can only be happy for a composer who has work.
Well, that's a good excuse. I know, and Jennifer Higdon has a work that's going to be done with Market Square Concerts.
That's
I think
right.
It's actually the week before the symphony.
Well,
concert.
We had talked about this. We met with Ellen Hughes, who runs Market Square, and talked about how we can collaborate. And direct collaboration isn't really possible. But what this does is it creates kind of a celebration of living composers, a celebration of Jennifer's work. She'll be in town, I know, for the Market Square concert.
Right. Yeah.
I'm hoping she'll be back for hours. We will see.
Yeah. Okay.
Other than that, you know, every concert has wonderful music. I mean, we're doing the New World Symphony on the first concert, and although it is a piece that's played so often, it's a piece that's played so often because it is truly a masterpiece. And I think it's crucial to perform those pieces as well. This will be the first time I've done the New World Symphony with this orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first piece scheduled on my first season, and sadly it was a performance I couldn't come to. I couldn't attend my own world premiere. But it should be a lot of fun. And so we have a wide range of music, a wide range of sounds that our audience will hear. But again, I can say with absolute certainty that I'm convinced of every piece we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I think every piece is a great work. Some are great profound, some are great entertaining, some are great beautiful, but they're all great, and that's a place of real confidence to come from in approaching a new season.
We hadn't mentioned the program in March, which is called Music of Myth and Magic. What's on the program for March?
Well, in March we'll be doing an all-orchestral program. I do one of those, at least one of those every year. I think we're worthy of it, and that's a nice thing to be able to say as well. And this program will be four spectacular orchestral show pieces. We'll be beginning with Prokofiev's Lieutenant Kija Suite. That's a piece that I love very dearly, but I find very difficult to program. It kind of has a weird place in the repertoire, but I think that opening a program like this one, it will work quite beautifully. And then that was music that was written for a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will be followed by more music written for a movie, Leonard Bernstein's music from On the Waterfront, which is vintage Bernstein.
Yeah, it's a great score.
It's a great score.
You hear it often.
It has jazzy edge to it, but it's very emotional and very energy packed. And so I've never done it before. Loved it a long time, so that will be exciting. And then the second half of the program is two great works for orchestra, The Sorcerer's Apprentice by Dukas, which everyone knows from Fantasia, and then Strauss's great tone poem, Death and Transfiguration, you know, one of the centerpieces of the repertoire.
That's a great piece, too.
I mean, yep. It's a big program. It's a lot of music packed into a program, and yet I think it's going to be very compelling. I'm excited. And it ranges from extremely heavy and dark to extremely light and effervescent. So I think it will work beautifully.
Good. Oh, and one other. We haven't talked about the soloist for May, the pianist for the Schumann.
Yep. She's this is a young pianist who I have not met yet. Her name is Daria Robotkina, and she won the Young Concert Artists competition in New York last year. She should be spectacular. I heard, of course, her demo recordings, and they were all wonderful and beautiful and thoughtful. And I think it's going to be another great premiere for someone here in Harrisburg, playing a piece that is one of the great masterpieces. The Schumann Concerto, I think, is, I wouldn't say underrated, because everyone thinks it's a great piece, but I do believe it's underplayed.
Yeah.
It's not presented nearly as much as the Brahms concertos or the Tchaikovsky or Rachmaninoff concertos, and yet in some ways, I think it's a greater piece than any of them. The Schumann is a breakthrough piece in terms of the way the piano is used. For Schumann himself, it's an amazing achievement.
So that's an overview of the whole season coming up. Your 10th anniversary season, by the way. So what does that feel like now? I mean, you
boggles my mind. I honestly cannot believe that I've been here for 10 years, and the fact that it's gone by so quickly says to me that good things are happening. I don't feel anxious. I don't feel like I've overstayed my welcome. I don't feel like the honeymoon is over. I feel like we're just getting going. I feel like each season is better than the previous one. My relationship with the orchestra improves on a regular basis. I think it's been great. I'm so grateful for whatever forces brought me here. I had no expectation coming to Harrisburg that it would be this wonderful an experience. I mean, I knew the orchestra was great. I knew the city was a nice place. But this has really been a terrific ride for me, and I'm anxious to see where it heads.
Yeah. Well, I remember when we were going through the season of all the guest conductors, that something happened, and you couldn't do your concert.
That's right. I so thought that it was over.
It almost didn't happen.
Yeah, the concert was scheduled for February of 2000. My wife got pregnant and was due in February of 2000, and so I called Stuart Weiser and said, I can't come. I'm sorry. I have to withdraw from the search. And they replaced me with Arthur Post, who came and conducted Sacre Fantastique. And then, you know, Alicia Chapman, who knew me from Greensboro, was talking to the orchestra musicians and saying to them, you know, we really want to see this guy. And they spoke to Stuart and to Rick, my predecessor, Rick Westerfield. And Rick graciously traded off one of his last two concerts after the search for one the next season. And so I got to come and do that concert and got the job. So, you know, you talk about fate, you talk about strange twists of fate. This was certainly one of those. It would have been just as easy for someone else to have gotten the job. I don't, you know, I can't say which one of my esteemed colleagues would have been here, but I feel very glad that it was me. Not that I wasn't happy in Greensboro, I really was. But this came at a very good time, and it's worked out wonderfully.